Guten Abend. Ich heiße John. Das ist meine Frau Liana und unser 9 Monat alt Sohn Simeon. Wir sind Missionare nach Deutschland und wir sind glücklich hier zu sein.
So good evening. My name is John. That is my wife Liana and our 9 Month old son Simeon, who many of you had a chance to meet in the back and play with for a little while. We are missionaries on deputation to Germany, specifically Eastern Germany. We'll talk about that in just a little bit here as well. And we're very glad to be able to be here tonight. We do have a presentation. We're going to be showing that in just a moment here. But before we do, we start out our presentation with a question. And I wanted to bring that question to you because we find that as people engage with that question, it makes a bigger impact when we reveal the answer. So I wanted to bring that question to you now. What do you think is the most common religion in Germany? Think about their history, their culture, what you know about their past, and now where they might be in the present. What do you think is the most common religion in Germany? We're going to show the video here in just a moment. We've got to turn on the TVs, I'm guessing. We have technical support coming here. She's holding her finger up to me, so I'm not sure. Well, if we don't have it, we can give it verbally. It's okay. We're used to technical difficulties, so. Well, a little bit getting that set up, we'll talk a little bit about kind of our short-term plans and then maybe give a little bit about our own testimonies here. So for the short-term plans, we are looking to go and help out a missionary couple, the Petersons, Aaron and Jennifer, who are in the city of Luschau. It's about 75 miles west of Berlin. They were a big help to us when we were putting together our cost of living over in Germany and looking at our budget. So we were dialoguing with them, talking with them, and they said, we mentioned that we were interested in partnering missionary who might need some help over on the field. And they said, well, we happen to know a couple of missionaries who might be interested in that. Of course, they gave us a bunch of names, but their name was one of them. And since we had already worked with them, we figured that it would be a good idea to work with them. We've been trying to get over there to visit with them for a little bit more than a year now. Obviously, with coronavirus being a thing that has put a kink on international travel. We originally had decided that we were going to go and visit with them last August, but we also learned that we were about to have a baby in August, so that kind of moved that plans back to December. We thought December, surely coronavirus will be a distant memory, we won't have to worry about it, and then December comes around, and coronavirus is still very much on everybody's mind. So at this point, we don't necessarily know when we're going to be able to make that survey trip. We're hoping before we actually leave for the field. We're planning tentatively for this December, but we're not putting any plans into effect until we know the international travel ban has been lifted. And as of a few weeks ago, when they reconsidered their travel ban in Germany, the United States was still prohibited from traveling over there except for essential travel, which would be like medical personnel and such. So at the moment, we are get there, please pray with us that we would be able to have that field open up for us to be able to go. Ultimately, we would like to branch off and plant a church on our own in the city of Rostock. It is a major port up on the Baltic Sea in the German state of Mecklenburg-Vorpommern. It is the largest city within its state, population of about 200,000 people. And as we were doing our research there, I'd say that there is anything as a like-minded church that would be within the vicinity of that city. And we would like to go and plant one there. We good? Thumbs up? Okay, she's giving me a thumbs up back there. So again, keep that question in mind. Most common religion in Germany. Hope all of you have an answer by now. I gave you plenty of time to get one, and we'll go ahead and show that video at this time.
If I were to ask you, what is the most common religion in Germany? What comes to mind? Perhaps you think of the opulent Roman Catholic churches. Germany is a country of the Holy Roman Empire, after all, and certainly there are many
many Roman churches scattered across the country. They are grand, towering, beautiful, but most notably, they are empty. And many of them are being, as the Roman Church puts it, desanctified, sold and turned into bars or shops. Or perhaps Lutheranism pops into your thoughts. Truly, the country of Martin Luther and the Reformation still has a large following in the religion that bears his name. However, even after combining with Calvinism and other Protestant denominations to form the Evangelical Church in Germany, they still fall slightly behind the Roman Catholic Church. Could it be Eastern Orthodoxy, brought in by refugees of the past? Maybe Islam, brought in by refugees of the present? No, these only represent a small percentage. What is the most common religion in Germany, then? Simply put, atheism is the most common religion. Currently, about 35% of the population claim no religion and reject the belief in any god. However, that number skyrockets when you move into the eastern part of the country. In 2012, a study of religions across the world found Eastern Germany had the highest percentage of atheists of any country within the study, at roughly 60% atheists. This same study could not find even a single individual under the age of 28 that claimed to have ever believed in God. This led several newspapers to declare that Eastern Germany was the most godless place on earth. Since then, Eastern Germany has continued its slide into godlessness, now approaching 70% of the population that would claim no belief in God. Become a part of their culture. To be German is to be atheist. They have said that they are rich and in need of nothing. Alcoholism is rampant in Germany. Materialism is their pursuit. To eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow they die. It is an existence without hope. If there is hope, God is still the Lord of the harvest. And even though the soil is hard, the field is still his. He is calling laborers into his field, even now. Hosea 10:12 states, "Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you." We believe that God is ready to do a great work, that the time to seek the Lord is now, and that he desires to rain righteousness in the field of Germany. Our mission is to break up the fallow ground of their hardened hearts, to show them the truth of God, and to sow the seed of God's word on the ground prepared by the Holy Spirit. We are the Stovers to Germany, sent out of Odenton Baptist Church, partnered with Baptist World Mission, and it is our burden to bring God to the most godless place on earth. When I was a boy, I placed my trust in Christ, and even from an early age, I knew God had called me to be a missionary. I attended college at Pensacola Christian, focusing on missions and ministry. After college, I went on a survey trip to Germany, where I was advised to gain experience stateside. I took a position as youth pastor at Vincent Baptist Church in Louisiana, where we saw great growth and success. God would shortly move me to Oklahoma Baptist Church to fill the gap there in the youth ministry. My wife grew up in Ukraine. She knew from creation that God must be real, but found no answers in the dead orthodoxy. It wasn't until God sent a missionary family to show her his personal love for her that she accepted his gift of salvation. She knew that she wouldn't have heard the truth were it not for missionaries, and followed the calling of God to Heartland Baptist Bible College, eventually to Odenton Baptist Church. In 2019, we were married, committing to serve God together to the uttermost. While we are still involved in the children's ministries, rescue mission, visiting nursing home ministries while we are in Odenton, we are separated to the work to which God has called us. We enjoy our temporary ministry of challenging churches with the burden of missions and and re-energizing God's people to remember the growing hardness of the United States. However, we are eager to go. We see the great need in Germany for laborers. We plan to plant churches in the region of Eastern Germany, reaching them through open market preaching, through English Bible studies, through children's activities, through every means God allows to break the hardened hearts and reach souls, families, and generations for Christ. We are prepared for a long and laborious journey, but we expect great things from God. Will you faithfully support us in prayer as we go to the hardened fields of Germany? Will you ask God to come and rain righteousness to soften their stony hearts? Will you partner with us as we labor in the most godless place?
Now that phrase, the most godless earth, yes, we use it because it's sensational, it grabs people's attention, but it's not a name that we came up with. Back in 2012, the University of Chicago did a study of different countries across the world and different age groups and whether or not they believe in God. And it didn't include all of the different countries in the world, but of all of the countries that it did include, consistently, Eastern Germany was found to have the highest percentage who would say, I do not believe in God, and the lowest percentage of people who would say, I do believe in God. Two newspapers, The Guardian, a British paper maybe some of you have heard of, and a German paper, Die Welt, took that report and ran an article, Why is Eastern Germany the most godless place on earth? And whether or not Eastern Germany really is the most godless place on earth isn't the point. The point is that even the secular world recognizes the hardness of the field of Germany. They see how far away they've gone from God. This is the secular world that's recognizing this. It's astounding to us. It breaks our heart to think of where Germany was. I think of the time of the Moravians, where the Germans were sending out missionaries to every corner of the earth, to now to the point where they're 70% atheist. And that's staggering. The statistic that really stands out to me, though, is the 0.0% under the age of 28. Not a single person in all of their study. That was 9 years ago. They're the generation now teaching the next generation there is no God. And we want to come and bring them the truth that there is a God. That it's not just this God maybe somewhere out there, but a very personal God who's interested in every aspect of their lives and is interested in having a relationship with them to the point of dying for their sins and saving them. And it's a difficult balance, I guess, when you look at Germany, of optimism and realism. Because we serve a mighty God, amen? We know he can do miracles. And it's our prayer that the moment we touch ground off of the runway, that there are thousands of people at the airport saying, tell us how we can know Jesus. Realistically, missionaries who are there tell us you're going to have to be prepared to be 10, 15, 20 years before you see a real work take off. And we're optimistic that we serve a mighty God and he can do miracles. But you don't get fallow ground turned over overnight and producing good seed. It's going to take time and it's going to take work, and we're prepared for the time and work that's going to take. We're praying for miracles, but we're prepared for the hard work. And that's kind of where our heart is right now. We understand how hard it is and the challenges that we're going to face. We understand it may be many, many years before we see fruit start to be produced, but we're prepared for that. We're praying that it comes a lot sooner, and we would appreciate your prayers in that regard as well. But this is where God has called us to be, and we're dedicated to be there because somebody needs to be a light to those people who don't know. My wife, growing up, you heard a little bit of her testimony. She grew up on a mission field. She grew up in Crimea. And during that time, a teacher who had to, because of the communist ways, teach all of the different theories of creation, explained evolution and explained the Big Bang and all of the different scientific theories, and then mockingly said, there's a fairy tale that God made the world. Isn't God amazing that he can use a teacher mocking him to bring someone to Christ? And that word stuck in my wife's heart, that God made the world. and looking around at the creation and the beauty of everything that God made, just as Romans says, the invisible things of God are seen by the visible creation, she knew there must be a God. There was no one there to tell her. All she knew was the Orthodox Church. And they told her the things the Orthodox Church does. They gave her a towel after sprinkling her and said, this has powers, and if you put it on your forehead, you'll be healed of whatever sickness it is. And she got sick, and she put it on her forehead, and nothing happened. And she felt lied to. She felt that God doesn't exist because they lied to her about the towel. They must have lied to her about God. And I love the way that she puts it. She says, I forgot about God. Praise him. He never forgot about me. And missionaries came to her country to share Jesus Christ with her. And we don't know what children are over there in Germany right now or who might be seeking the Lord and saying there must be a God. He has to be out here. This world, this life can't be all that it is. And there's nobody there to tell them. We want to be able to spread the gospel truth to them that there is a God who loves them, who knows them, and who wants to have a personal relationship. And there is a forgiveness of sins. We're going to need your prayers. It's not an easy task. And in fact, that's what my message is going to be about tonight, is prayer. But we appreciate you coming to share our burden for Germany with you. Right now, we've been on deputation for a year and a half, year and 7 months, give or take. I've lost count at the moment. But God has been blessing. You think back past this last year, and all of the different challenges with coronavirus, God has still brought us 24 churches that are supporting us, and we're about 45% right now. That's all to the glory of God, because it's not anything I could do. During this last year, there's very little that we actually had an opportunity to do. We were able to make some of our meetings and keep some of our schedule, but with coronavirus, we lost a lot of things that we could have otherwise scheduled. God has been good. And I say that not to say, well, woe is me, we're such a hard spot, but no, to lift up the glory of God, that in spite of all the things that have happened, God has still moved us forward, and God is still working and doing things, and we're excited about what he's going to do in Germany with us. And it is a hard field, but we serve a great God, and I believe that the time to seek the Lord is now, and that he's ready to bring Germany back to being a fruitful field and one that's able to send missionaries to other parts of the world again. That's my vision. That's my burden for that country, and I hope that you would pray with us to that end. What time do we usually go till, Pastor? Okay. Well, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Ephesians chapter 6. If you do have any questions for us or anything maybe to cover, or you want to know more about Germany, go ahead and stop by our table over in the back, grab a prayer card, pray for us. We do have a prayer letter sign-up that goes out every 2 months. We also have a Facebook page and a website, if you're not on Facebook, where we post more regular updates. We're a little bit overdue for one, so I got to get on there and type one up. But if you want to keep up to date with us and see what's going on in our lives, those would be a way to do so. Sign up for our prayer letter or check out our website or Facebook. Those will be on our prayer card as well. Ephesians chapter 6. And Ephesians chapter 6 is kind of well known for a passage of scripture known as the armor of God. But there's a part of it that comes after the armor of God that a lot of people tend to overlook, because we get to the armor of God and it's such good theology and it's so rich in its picture that we kind of forget about the last couple of verses of the chapter. And God just brought those to my attention here as we have Paul, who was a missionary, asking the church of Ephesus for something very important. And it's really, a lot of people don't include this with the armor of God, but it to be probably the most effective weapon that we have in all of God's arsenal. We find that beginning in verse number 18, it says this: praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I want to talk about the spiritual weapon of prayer tonight and why it's such an effective tool for missionaries and maybe give you a little bit of what you can pray for in regards to missionaries by looking at what Paul asked for the church of Ephesus to pray for him. Let's have a word of prayer tonight. Father, as we come before you, Lord, I humble myself to be a mere speaker of your words. Lord, I ask that you would put aside any of the failings of my flesh, my pride. Lord, we ask that only your words tonight would stand true. Lord, those things which you would have to speak, let them come forth and be eloquent in speech. And those things which you not to say, let me forget them as if they never were. Lord, let only your word take precedence tonight, because only by it will we have truth given to us. Lord, let the Spirit work in our hearts to make us more like Christ. And Lord, work in my heart once again to teach me anew the truths of this passage. Bless us, Lord, tonight for the reading of your word and for the fellowship around it. And Lord, we ask that we would leave here more like Jesus Christ. It's in his name we ask these things. Amen. Prayer is an incredible weapon when it comes to the spiritual warfare that we fight. If you look at the very beginning of the armor of God passage in verse number 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of, what's that next word there? There's one before might. His might. And a lot of times we like to stand in our own, especially as men. You know, we're men. We don't need any help. We don't have to have anybody to help us. One of the things that gets me in trouble with my wife most often is I don't ask for help when I really probably should ask for help. Because I'm a man. I can do it. I like to stand in my strength. But here we're told that we have to be in his strength. The power of his might is what allows us to war our spiritual warfare. And in verse 11, he says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And with all of those things that we have to face off against, we need somebody even bigger on our side. And the only way that we get access to that is by prayer. But aren't you glad that he gave us boldness through Jesus Christ to enter into his throne at any time? That even the most mundane of requests we can bring to him, and he pays attention to them. Lord, I can't find my keys. In the scope of all of eternity, how much does finding your keys really matter for the sake of the universe? And yet God in his goodness gives attentiveness to such a mundane request and answers and fulfills it that we're able to find our keys. And most of the time when I'm in that case, because I lose my keys a lot, I say, God, where are my keys? It's usually within like 5 seconds thereafter that I find them. And it's usually in one of the places that I already looked. All of the ladies are chuckling. The guys are just nodding their heads like, yeah. Mm-hmm. But isn't it so good that God gives us that boldness to come before his throne, to ask for even the simple things? And if the simple things are important to God, how much more the really important things? And so God gives us this great weapon in prayer to come before his throne and make our requests known. It would be like a general going to fight an army. And he says, okay, here's this radio. You push the button on this radio and we will send out our B-2s or I don't know what military planes are, I'm sorry. But one of the bombers will send out our bombers there and they'll go out and they will hit an airstrike and lay the path clear for you to go. And the general goes, nah, don't want it. Don't need it. He would be fired on the spot court-martialed for not using the resources available to him. Here we have prayer, where we can come before Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, spoke it into existence. And so many times we go, too busy. I don't have time. It's not that important. God's not going to hear me anyway. And every other excuse the devil can throw at us to get us from praying to God. Because he knows prayer works. And he wants to keep that secret. Because he knows that if we get on our knees and humble ourselves before God, God will move on behalf of his children. Those of you who have children understand this. When your children come to ask you for things, you want to give them good things. Matter of fact, Jesus used this as this very illustration. If your child comes and asks you for bread, will you give him a stone? If he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? And he says, if you being evil can give to your children good gifts, how much more your heavenly Father? Right. And here Paul tells us, all we have to do is come before him and ask. Well, what are the things that he says to ask for? It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And that's a big part there. James says that we have not because we ask not. And he says, ye ask and ye receive not because you ask amiss to fulfill it on your lusts. We pray not in the Spirit, but in our flesh for the things that we want. God, give me a Ferrari. Give me $1 million. Let me get this. Let me get that. And so many times God says, no, you don't need that. And a lot of times he'll even give us the things that we want because he's a good and gracious God. But it's in the Spirit that we have to pray, not for the things that we want. Anyway, this is all kind of extra stuff, but good to go over. He says, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. He says, all prayer, all perseverance, all saints. He says, pray without ceasing. Pray with all perseverance. Don't let anything get in your way. And pray for all of the saints. Every believer. But you know, the interesting thing about that is that Paul then goes on in the next verse, in verse 19, he says, and for me. He says, while you're praying for all saints, pray for me. And Paul would be included in the all saints, but then he goes ahead and gives them a couple of things that he wants them to pray for. And now this is Paul, as a missionary, coming to his churches and saying, pray for me for these things. Look at what he says here. That utterance may be given unto me. The first thing he asks for is utterance to be given to him. Now, what does this mean? Well, that word utterance, if you've done any Greek studies, you probably come across this word in the Greek. It's the Greek word logos. It's usually translated word. Paul is asking that the word would be given to him. And I think that Paul here, yes, he's asking for the things to be able to say. He's really asking for the right things to be able to say. This word that's used here in this passage is the same word that's used in John 1:1. And the word was made flesh. I'm sorry, that's the wrong one. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. It's that same word in the Greek. Here he says utterance to be given to Paul. He's saying, pray for me that I would understand the Bible, that I would understand what I need to say, that I'd be able to know how to give people the right words. As a missionary, that's crucial. As a pastor, as a preacher, that's crucial. Pray for your pastor that he would have the utterance so that he would know the right words to be able to say. Because if I get up here and I give you my words, I mean, that you might as well listen to an internet talk. Go to somebody who's going to be a motivational speaker. Because my words aren't going to be any better than theirs. Theirs will probably be better. They're trained for it. They're trained to be able to get up there and give motivational speeches so that at the end you're like, yes, I want to go do this. I'm not trained to do that. But you know what I am trained to do? Study this book. To rightly divide it. To come before my knees to God and say, oh, Spirit of God, show me what this is to teach me. And I'd take God's words over a motivational speaker any day. And Paul is saying, pray that I would have utterance be given to me. He wants the word, and missionaries need God's wisdom to be able to utter the words of truth. They need to know how to express it within their culture. One of my favorite books on this illustration and on this principle is a book called Peace Child. It's a story of a missionary who goes over to, I think it's Papua New Guinea, into one of the tribes there. And the interesting thing about this tribe is that they have really gone to the point where they call evil good and good evil, to the point where treachery is honored within their culture. One of the best things that you could do is befriend somebody and then betray them. They were a cannibalistic society, so betraying them usually meant dinner. And one of the things that they did, and one of their heroes, they was somebody who had built up this friendship for like 6 months with this guy and finally invited him over and then betrayed him and murdered him and ate him, to the point that when the missionaries do come there and they're able to share the story of Jesus and learn the language and share the story of Jesus, Judas is the hero. And he's saying, how do you share Jesus Christ with a society that thinks Judas is the hero of the story because he betrayed his friend? And as the book goes on, it demonstrates that even in their society, they had an example that he could use to point to Jesus Christ and point them and show them how God reconciles us. That ritual is the ritual of the Peace Child. You want to know more about it, I'll let you read the book. I won't spoil it for you. It's a really good book. I would encourage you to get it and read it. But the whole point of it is that every society has a method that can speak personally to their society. Missionaries need to be able to understand that. They need to be able to understand the culture that they work in. They need to be able to understand the mindset of the people so that when they open up this book and they share the stories with them and they share the lessons and they share the truths, it's not being misunderstood as Judas is the hero. And the only way that they can get that wisdom is by the Holy Spirit of God, who enlightens us and illuminates us to the truths of this book. It's his word. He knows it better than we do. And he can use it to break through even the hardest of hearts to reach people for Jesus Christ. But missionaries need that utterance. They need that prayer to receive it of God, because it doesn't come from my own thoughts and my own wisdom. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to them. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. It is the Spirit of God that must reveal it to the missionaries, to the pastors. And that's why Paul here is asking for them to pray that utterance be given to him so that he would know the words that he would need to say. And he's in a pretty bad situation himself there. If you look down in one of the next verses here in verse 21, he says, but that ye may know my, in verse number 20, he says, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. Paul is in prison. He's got Roman guards chained to him. Now, he enjoyed that because he had a captive audience. But at the same time, he needs to know how to properly broach the topic of the scriptures and the gospels to a pagan Roman who believed in the gods. He needed that utterance because he also didn't have this sitting in front of him either. And so all that Paul had to work with was what he had memorized. And, of course, some of the scriptures that he was able to bring when he's writing to Timothy, he's asking for them to bring the scriptures with him, the parchments, I think it was. So he had some words of the scripture, but most of it came from memorizing them up here. And he needed to know which ones to use and which ones to recall and to be able to bring them up. Missionaries need that. You want to pray for your missionaries, pray that utterance would be given to them, that they would know his word and how to bring it up and what to say to the people there. He goes on, he says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. He says that I may open my mouth boldly. So the first one, if you want to put it in simpler terms, he's asking for praying for them that he would know what to say. Now he's asking that he would know when to say it. Now this word boldly talks about freedom in speaking, being able to freely talk about these things. It's very nearly related to the next boldly that we'll see here in a second, but there is a little bit of nuanced difference between them. This one has a lot to do with being free, having the freedom to be able to discuss the things that he needs to discuss. Paul really here is what he's asking for. He's asking for people to pray for opportunities to speak to people, that he would have that freedom to be able to open his mouth to make known the mysteries of gospel to them. Remember, he's a prisoner. So a lot of times he can't just go anywhere he wants and give people the word of God. His audiences are kind of limited to the people who come to see him and the people he's allowed to go see. Now, their prison system was a little bit different back then. Paul, if you read at the end of Acts, he had a house there that he was able to occupy, and the Romans allowed him to kind of come and go as he wanted to. But he was in bonds. He was imprisoned. But he still asked for opportunities to be able to open his mouth and explain the scriptures. And this is something that we really need you to pray for, the ability to know when to open our mouths and discuss with scriptures. Yeah. There were times where Paul, by the Holy Spirit, was forbidden to give people the gospel. He wanted to go over into this one country, and the Holy Spirit didn't let him. And so he makes plans to go over into this country, and the Holy Spirit doesn't let him. Why? Because the people there didn't need Jesus? Obviously they did. But the Holy Spirit knew exactly where he wanted Paul to be, when he wanted Paul there. And that's one of the crucial elements, is that we want to wisely be able to give the word of God and the word of truth when it's going to a sensitive heart. We want to give the word of God to as many people as we can, but we don't want it to land on the hardened, packed soil where the Satan will be able to come and snatch it away. We want it to be able to take good root. And it takes time to know when that heart is ready to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Missionaries need to have that wisdom from God, to have boldness to make known the mysteries of the gospel. They need that freedom. They need the ability to have that boldness within their culture. They need that ability to know how to discuss it with people. Not just what to say, but what situations are right where they would be receptive of that message. Cultures are very different. In Germany, it's almost a taboo thing. It's even worse than it is here in the United States. You know, the two things in the United States talk about? Politics and religion, right? That's kind of the common knowledge. I don't like it, but it's what everybody says. I still talk about politics. I talk about religion a lot more, but I'm kind of one of those people that doesn't understand things, so I don't do it. And so culturally, I don't understand. Why can't we talk about religion? Let's talk about it. It's kind of important, pretty important to talk about. So let's do it. But in Germany, you have your way, I have mine, don't talk about it. It takes knowing when is the right time to talk about it, because if you do it at the wrong time, you might never get the opportunity to talk to them about it again. And a lot of missionaries face that, knowing when is the right time. We've heard different. Over in the Philippines, people are more than happy to do whatever the missionary asks of them. Do you want to believe in Jesus? Sure. In Jesus. You want to say, yeah, I'll do that. Why? Because the missionary wants them to. And the missionary needs to know when it's the right time, when the heart is truly sensitive. Missionaries need that boldness to be able to open their mouth, that freedom to make the gospel known. And Paul here is praying very much that he would have opportunities to give the gospel to the people around him. We need that prayer as well. Not just missionaries, that prayer. That all of us, going back to verse number 19, supplication for all saints. We all need to have that boldness to know when is the right time to give the gospel. Generally speaking, most of the time. You know, it's not one of those, oh, the gospel, should I not give the gospel? Most of the time is a good time to give the gospel. Only when the Holy Spirit is preventing you is probably when you shouldn't do it. And there's been a couple of times where I've experienced that. There's been, you know, Paul in the book of Acts experienced it a couple of times. But by and large, Paul had an open door most of the time to give people the gospel, and he gave them the gospel. Most of the time, it isn't the opportunity that's lacking. Most of the time, it's this next thing that Paul asks for that is. Verse number 20 says, "For I am an ambassador in bonds." That's going back to the last point, because he is a prisoner. The boldness, even in his bonds, the ability to be able to speak the gospel. But then he says this, "That therein I may speak boldly as I ought to." He says, "I want you to pray that I would speak boldly as I ought to." He is asking here for the confidence. And that's where the little nuanced difference is. This has the idea of being free-spoken, bold in the way that we would normally use it. And stop and think about that for a second. This is Paul asking for boldness. We don't usually think of Paul as somebody who needs boldness. But Paul knew his own heart, and he knew the temptations of the flesh, and he knew the spiritual warfare that we're in, that the devil wants us to just close our mouths and be silent, because then he knows he wins. And so Paul is asking for boldness, that he would be able to speak the way he ought to speak, the way he knew he needed to. This word ought here is very interesting, because it conveys a need or a necessity. It says, this is something that I need to do. It is a necessity for me to do. And I need boldness to be able to do it. If Paul needs boldness, how much more the rest of us? I generally tend to be a pretty timid and shy person. You wouldn't get that from seeing me up here in the pulpit. My wife always tells me, you know, he's shy and timid, but when he gets up in the pulpit, you know, he has this power from God that helps him to be able to give his messages, and it really is God's power. But I don't really like talking to people. I've often said I'd be perfectly happy being a hermit on an island and never having to talk to another living being for the rest of my life. But that's me, and my life isn't about me. My life is about Christ, and Christ has a purpose for me to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and I need the boldness to be able to do that. Missionaries need that boldness. Your pastor needs that boldness. One another in here, we need that boldness. Because if Paul wanted people to pray for him that he would have boldness, we need it too. And it's so, so tempting and so easy just to say nothing. Just to say nothing. That's why Paul said pray for it. Because we need to, for ourselves, for one another, at the beginning of the day, stock up on that spiritual power from God Almighty, who will bolster our hearts and give us the courage and boldness we need to overcome our fleshly fears and give the gospel to the people who need it. The only thing most of the time that keeps us from having that power is ourselves, because we're not prepared for it. We've come to the warfare and we forgot our walkie-talkie. We forgot to call in the air raids. We've forgotten to take on the whole armor of God. We left our belt. We left our shoes at home. We left our helmet at home. We didn't come prepared. And Paul here is asking that they would pray always with all perseverance and supplication, that he would have boldness. We need the courage to be able to speak the truth of God. Missionaries have a very hard task. But can I let you in on a little secret? We all do. Because we're going to go over to Eastern Germany, but who's going to be here in Tallahassee to tell people about Jesus Christ? We need you guys to do the work of God here. And we'll be praying for you to have the boldness that you need to be able to speak the words of truth to the people around you. And really, we know we ought to. We feel the prodding of the Holy Spirit. And we know we need to speak that truth. So pray for your missionaries. Pray for your pastor. Pray for one another that we would have the boldness to speak as we ought. Because a lot of times it isn't a lack of knowledge. It's a lack of courage. We need to pray for one another. Because it's that lack of courage. And a lot of times it's a lack of courage in our lack of knowledge. We'll say, well, I don't know enough. I can't do this. I can't. Can I just encourage you with one little thing? Look back in verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You don't need to be wise. You don't need to be smart. You don't need to be mighty. You don't need to have every answer. You need this book. And if you have this, you've got everything you need. You know what Paul did most of the times when we see him witnessing to people? He didn't come out with these wonderful arguments. He didn't try to logically defend the word of God. He didn't try to overthrow the pagan gods. You know what he did? I was walking down this road to Damascus, and suddenly this bright light appeared, and I said, who art thou? And he said, I am Jesus, who you persecute. He gave his own testimony. If you have a testimony of how you got saved, you can lead somebody to Christ. You know everything you need. For me, I was saved as a 4-year-old boy. By most standards, it's not the most impressive testimony. But to me, it is. Because I went from being a lost sinner to a saved saint. And as a 4-year-old boy, so thankful that God made the plan of salvation so simple for us. He did all the hard work so that even a 4-year-old, in the simplicity of his understanding, can come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. I think it would be appropriate at this time to share that message of salvation in case anybody here doesn't know it, in case maybe you don't have a testimony of salvation. As I said, Jesus Christ did all of the hard work. He died on behalf of our sins. And the Bible declares that we are all sinners. If you say that you don't have sin, well, you're a liar. The Bible says so. And then you've got lying to add to your sins. So, right there. The Bible says we're all sinners, myself included. That's why we need Jesus Christ, because he died. He, God incarnate, came and of a virgin, as prophesied, lived a perfect life without sin, died a death he did not deserve, my death, your death, to pay for each and every one of those sins. And the blessed thing is that he didn't stay dead. 3 days later, he rose, proving that the sacrifice was accepted. Proving that he is God Almighty and proving that he has conquered death and us. And as a living high priest, he now offers to us atonement and forgiveness to say, all of your sins can be paid for by my blood. And what are the conditions that he puts on it? Simple faith. believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's simple. He made it simple because he did all the hard work, because he knew there's going to be a dumb four-year-old boy who's going to hear the message of salvation, and it needs to be simple enough for him to get it. And I'm so glad he made it simple. But we need that boldness to share that message, don't we? So pray. We have prayer cards on the back of our table. We'd love for you to stop by and grab one and pray for us. Pray that we would have the utterance, that we would know what to say in the cultures that we go to. Pray that we would have the boldness to make known the mystery of the gospel, that we would have the freedom to be able to give it to the people around us, that we'd have those opportunities to give the gospel. And pray that we would speak boldly as we ought to speak, because we know we need to. It's just overcoming that fear. And God has not given us the spirit of fear. We need to pray that he would fill us with that boldness of love, of sound truth. Pray. That's really it. And if we get on our knees before God, God's going to do mighty things. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you, we thank you for the simple truth of prayer. Lord, it is our greatest weapon in spiritual warfare. Help us not to neglect it. Help us not to think ourselves too busy or that it's not important enough. Lord, we need prayer. Help us, we pray. Only by your strength and by your might will we accomplish the things that you've told us to do. But Lord, we know that when we come before you, you will give us all of your strength and all of your might and all of your wisdom to do what you've called us to do. Thank you for your love and care for us. Help us, Lord, to be able to pray for one another, for the things that we ought to say, for the boldness, for the opportunities. And Lord, we just ask that we would simply do what you've told us to do and spread the gospel. Thus we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor?